Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We are to, it's week, I guess, 10 in the opponent preview series, but as you know, we're going backwards. So we're talking about Tennessee today and the Volunteers, who I think are going to be one of the best teams in the country. I was surprised by how highly I thought of them when I sat down and did my my schedule predictions just a few weeks back. Ben McKee joins us from Go Vols 24/7, who's been a busy man this week, as you might guess, covering a national championship up there in Omaha. I'm sure. Let's real quick. You know, how was that trip? Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. Omaha is the absolute best. Not sure if you've been able to make it up there.
I have. It's awesome.
It is the best. Were you there through the entire national championship run?
I was there in 19. I didn't make it in 21, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, it's a long time. I was there today, marked 2 weeks. So I got back late last night. But it's the best, the absolute best, as you know.
Yeah.
And really cool to see Tennessee fans, how they've adopted it as Tony Vitello has grown his baseball program. And it was a really cool celebration earlier this week, I guess Monday night. But it was awesome, as you know. It doesn't get much better in sports than that, especially at the college level.
Yeah, we have the Oma Dogs, the Oma Hogs. We have Omaha from Ole Miss. We have Omaha from LSU. What are y'all going with? Volmaha?
Oma Vols.
Oma Vols. Okay.
You got to have the hashtag. Yeah, you can't be, especially if you go three times in 4 years and back-to-back years, you have to have an official slogan or the official Omaha tag. So it was Omaha Vols.
Got it. All right, I'm going to let you do a public service for my listeners, and in some ways for me as well. Pronounce the name of Tennessee's starting quarterback.
Ooh, you're going to put me on the spot. I think I have it down pat.
Go ahead.
When he first committed, I was saying it what I thought was the correct way, and come to find out, it was not the correct way, so I've had to rework my brain. Nico Iamaleava.
There it is. Now we have it. I'm just going to refer to him as Nico. And
yes, that's what Tennessee fans are doing. The difficult part of that last name is there's a couple of different A's in there, and they're supposed to sound differently. And that's where my tongue and brain just do not go together.
Yeah. We're from the South. It doesn't
right.
click for us. I don't know that there's a team in the country where ceiling and floor are more determined by how their quarterback does. There are some quarterbacks some teams where the quarterback can just be good, and they'll be okay. I think Tennessee really needs Nico to be great for them to get where they want this year. And if he's not, I think they could struggle. You know, am I putting an unfair expectation on a redshirt freshman who hasn't seen a ton of experience, or do you feel like he can step in and give Tennessee the kind of season that Hendon Hooker gave them a couple of years ago?
No, I think that is a fair expectation. And from the outside looking in, I think you're absolutely spot on. And this offense needs him to be special, be the five-star quarterback that he was. He was arguably – it was him or Arch Manning as the number one quarterback in their class. And obviously Tennessee people believe that Arch Manning was the number one quarterback for one reason and one reason only. So they like to claim that Nico was the number one
quarterback. Hey, they benefited from that a few decades ago. They can get around that.
Yes, and they're fine with that. So but they, you know, fans got to say, oh, he was only the number one overall quarterback because his last name. But Nico was neck and neck with Arch, and they need him to be that. They need him to live up to the billing. So I think it is fair to say that, hey, they need him to be great. Because Joe Milton, he wasn't bad, and he got too much of the blame. He didn't have as much help around him as Hendon had. But Hendon was certainly the better quarterback. I don't think there's any debating that. And Tennessee needs Nico to be closer to Hendon than Joe. And I think that will be the case. And I think that's the feeling in the building as well. They're not necessarily wording it that way out of respect for Joe. But yes, they need him to be great. And I get the sense that they think he is going to be great. A lot of people in that building, to steal a term from the kids, these days, they believe that he is him. They believe that he is going to be just top notch, and they have no concern or no worry about how he's going to translate to the full time starter, because he has truly impressed everybody from the moment he stepped foot on campus and put the work in. Great teammate, great leader, very quiet, as quiet as a quarterback can be. Obviously, just goes about his business, Just wants to be another one of the guys. Doesn't want to be the focal point that you would think for a five-star quarterback. So yes, they need him to be great, and it would be surprising if he's not. For me, it's weird to say because this will be his first time as a starting quarterback, the full-time starter, and he still needs to go prove himself. But I have more concerns around him. And my bigger question with the offense is whether people will step up around him and help him elevate the offense back to what it was 2 years ago, rather than being concerned about how Nico is going to be as a full-time starter.
I love Tennessee's receiving core. You know, McCoy, I love Squirrel White, maybe my favorite, one of my favorite players in the SEC this year. I think Dylan Sampson at running back is underrated. He's a guy that, you know, he averages 6 yards a carry for his career. You know, he's a 1,000-yard rusher in his career. He's got 13 career touchdowns. He's a good back. But you don't ever hear his name mentioned among the elite running backs in the conference. How good can he be in this offense this year?
Oh, he can be the best running back in the SEC. Certainly one of the best. I don't think that you can name three better than him in the conference. I certainly don't think that you can name five better than him. And he has best running back in the SEC type of potential. And he's been a little bit overshadowed by Jalen Wright the last couple of years, especially this past season. And Jalen Wright landed in a nice situation in the draft with the Dolphins, and the Dolphins using that speed and that system is going to be fun to watch. But he's been a little bit overshadowed. And the problem is, like, there's no depth behind him. And I know you're asking a Samson-specific question, but that is kind of one of the concerns around Nico that you hope doesn't rear its ugly head if Samson gets banged up. And, you know, there's this illusion that Josh Heupel's offense is like an air raid because of the up-tempo pace. But they – Josh Heupel's best offense is they run the football equally as well as they pass it, if not better. And the offense kind of goes as the running game goes. So they need a huge year from Dylan Sampson, and I think that he will deliver if he doesn't. And the other thing about Sampson that people outside of Knoxville don't realize is just his leadership. I mean, he is by far one of the leaders on the football team, if not the leader. He has a very strong personality that people gravitate towards him. And he's in for a big season as long as he can stay healthy. And I do agree with that he is one of the underrated, not just running backs, but I'd say offensive skill players in the SEC going into the season.
One thing I don't think people know about Tennessee, because so much focus up there is on Heupel and this offense and how good it is that the potential number one pick in the draft plays for Tennessee on the defensive side of the ball in James Pierce. That guy is a freak of nature defensive player. You know, sort of let the world know a little bit more about that guy, because I think the average SEC fan doesn't know a whole lot about him.
Yeah, I think they're about to, because he should be in for just one heck of a season. He's probably the best edge rusher in college football. He's certainly in the conversation if you don't want to firmly label him as that. But you said it perfectly. He's just like an athletic freak. I mean, a guy that big should not be able to move as fast as he moves. And you saw that last season where just SEC offensive tackle after SEC offensive tackle were just not able to contain him off the edge whatsoever. And then even against Iowa, and we can make fun of Iowa's offense all day long, certainly, but they typically do have good offensive linemen, and their tackles just could not handle James Pierce Jr. whatsoever. I mean, he had a strip sack, he had a pick six, and was just constantly terrorizing Iowa's quarterback, as he did to the SEC throughout the season. So it's hard not to envision him going top five and top 10 in next year's draft at minimum, if he can stay healthy, if he can stay out of trouble, which he's a quiet kid and just kind of goes about his business. So I would be surprised if he did get in trouble, but you just never know nowadays, I guess. But if he can just avoid things like that, then at minimum he's a top five, top 10 pick. And quite possibly, if he can follow up this season what he did last season with a very similar season, then there's a really good chance that he ends up being the number one overall pick in the draft, and rightfully so, just because we obviously know that the edge rusher position is a premium position at both levels, and somebody that athletic playing that premium position, they don't sit on the board for too long.
This defense, let's sort of stick with that. You know, it's been a process since year one of Heupel. They were not good defensively his first season. They were pretty good these past couple of years. What's the ceiling on this defense in 2024?
Yeah, I don't know that it'll ever be, you know, what the offense is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is their goal. They don't Another misconception that I think people have about Tennessee is that they just ignore defense, and that's not the case at all. It's just been kind of what you said. It's just been a path to reach even the point that they're at now, and they're still building. It was just, and it's so odd because Jeremy Pruitt was a defensive guy, but there was just not a lot to work with when Heupel took over, especially because of the transfer portal kind of getting going right then. You had the NCAA cloud hanging over the program from Pruitt. Like, it was the roster, the cupboard was bare, and they've had to rebuild, not only trying to get a starting 11 together that's capable, but now they're trying to build depth. And it is in a much healthier situation than it was a couple of years ago. And I thought they took a big step forward this past season by being a top 25-ish defense. And I think that's probably the floor, once again, when you have guys like James Pierce Jr. But they have James Pierce Jr. on the edge of a defensive line that some consider to be the best in the country. They're still benefiting from the COVID year a little bit with a couple of guys like Amari Thomas and Bryson Eason. They've picked up some transfers, Jackson Moy from Stanford and Omar Norman Lott last year from Kansas, and they have some other talented guys that they've recruited and are bringing along. So it's going to start with the defensive line and James Pierce Jr. off the edge. They also have a Joshua Josephs off the edge who can really play as well, and they're expecting a big offseason from him. At linebacker, you have a couple of talented young guys that you're hoping to take a big step forward this offseason as well. And you get Keenan Peely, who is probably as old as you and I, still playing college football because he started at BYU and he's dealt with some injuries. He transferred in for his last season, but got hurt in the first game and missed the rest of the season. So he's going to have some rust to knock off, but he's a veteran and a thumper who should translate to the SEC pretty well, and they were pleased with what they were seeing from him in fall camp. So it's going to start with the front seven. They're going to have to lead the way. I do think the secondary is the biggest question, and I do think that they upgraded at corner. That's been their biggest bugaboo the last couple of years is the secondary play. It's been hit or miss. They've had some guys like Kamal Haddon, Theo Jackson step up and have some big-time seasons, but just hasn't been very consistent play from the secondary. And when the defense has struggled, that's typically been the issue. And so they went out and they got Jermod McCoy from Oregon State, and he was a big transfer that's expected to do some pretty big things. And Ricky Gibson, a young guy that they recruited, who actually picked Tennessee over Georgia, surprisingly. So they're expecting big things from him in his sophomore season. And they brought in some transfers at safety. If the secondary can click, then, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think that it could have top 10-ish potential in the country for the defense. But it's all going to start with that defensive line that several people, again, think that it could be the best defensive line in the country because of how old the group is and how many players that they have. They have a lot of depth and experience and some talent. That goes a long way, that combination of things. So it's got to start there with the defense.
I don't know how old you are, but if anybody my age is still playing college football, we got some serious, serious questions to ask.
He can rent a car. We'll put it at that.
Buddy, I can do a lot more than that at my age. Tennessee has two of the most interesting games in September for me. The neutral site game with NC State, and then they travel to Oklahoma. I don't know if that's Oklahoma's first SEC game or not. I think that it is.
I believe that it is, yes.
So, yeah, so that's their first ever SEC game. Mississippi State gets to crack off Texas's first SEC game. So if they're 4-0 at the end of the month, I mean, they're going to be rolling at that point. They should be in the top 10. They have an interesting stretch where they play two of what I guess are Tennessee's biggest rivalry games, right? Florida and Tennessee are back-to-back, looking to get revenge on both of those teams. They beat them a year ago. And then you have that game with Georgia at the end of the season, or towards the end of the season. This schedule kind of sets up nicely for Tennessee to be able to get some early momentum. They have a couple of tough stretches, but all in all, when I look at this team, I just see a lot of wins. Where's the stretch on the schedule? What's the two-game or three-game stretch where you say, if they come out of that 2-1, 3-0, they are going to be rolling?
I think it's got to be September because you mentioned NC State and Oklahoma, and I just looked it up. Oklahoma, their first SEC game is against Tennessee and Norman on the 21st, week four. They play Temple, Houston, and Tulane to open the season.
Way to get ready for the conference, guys.
Yeah, big way to get ready for the conference there. But those two games, I just think will be very telling. So if they're 3-1 coming out of that September stretch, with wins over NC State and Oklahoma. I think that would be very telling. Or even maybe if they split the two games and assuming that the loss would be competitive and, you know, not a black eye type of loss or anything along those lines. A pretty loss, not that I really think that there's ever such thing as a pretty loss, especially when you're in year four as the head coach. But I think it'd just be pretty telling because to me that would mean that Nico is playing to the level that people think that he's going to be playing at, especially if you can go to Oklahoma in your first SEC start and your first road SEC start and you can win in Norman against an Oklahoma team that Brent Venables seems to have rolling in the right direction pretty well right now. I think that would be a great sign, obviously, if Nico can handle that environment. But again, kind of those questions that I mentioned earlier, they need their skill position players, mostly receivers. Like they need the receiver room to step up and help Nico. They had a disappointing season a year ago, but have talent. So if they're able to win, I would assume that they're making plays. I would assume that the defense and everything that I just talked about, it's clicking. The secondary possibly playing better than it has in the past couple of years. I imagine if you're able to win those games, that the defensive front is performing to the expectations that I just set on them. Because NC State, Oklahoma, don't know that they're – especially NC State, but even for Oklahoma, I don't know that they're at Georgia's level right now or Ohio State's, you know, ready to be one of the contenders, the front runners to win a national championship. But you know that they're going to be strong in the trenches. And I think that this team for Tennessee, they'll go as the trenches go. And if you can beat a tough NC State team and a tough Oklahoma team in that first month, that tells me that your football team's in a good spot going into October. But those two games that you mentioned, the back-to-back home games against Alabama and Florida, those will be some pressure cookers because of what those games mean to Tennessee fans and what it could potentially mean as you pursue a playoff spot if you do have a successful September. So I'm circling the month of September, not because it's my birthday month, but because I think it'll be very telling against two quality opponents how the season is go, how the direction of the season is going to go.
Let's ask it's more of a big picture kind of question here because Josh Heupel, Jeff Lebby, they obviously work together. Lebby and Heupel's offenses are going to be very, very similar. Tennessee's first year, we sort of just talked about it. Offensively, they were outstanding. Hooker came in and was kind of an unknown quantity, had an incredible season, threw 31 touchdowns, only three picks. Defensively, though, like I said, they were not good this year, and that's kind of what you see at Mississippi State this year. There's a lot of questions on the defensive side of the ball. Based on what you know of Heupel and his first year in Knoxville, what should Mississippi State fans expect from Lebby in year one if things can go in a similar fashion?
Yeah, I guess innovation for Tennessee fans, which I guess it would be similar for Mississippi State following the unfortunate passing of Mike Leach, obviously, and the offense took quite the step back last year from my vantage point from the outside looking in, just a different pace, right? From Leach to what it was last year. Mm-hmm. So you would expect the pace for this year under Lebby to be much more similar to Mike Leach. And that's kind of, to me, what the stark difference was for Tennessee, because you go from Jeremy Pruitt, where it was just like watching paint dry, watching them play offense under Pruitt. I mean, it was just absolutely miserable to watch Tennessee play offensive football. And if I'm not mistaken, it was like that at times last year for State.
Painful is probably not a strong enough word. Death-like.
Yeah, I just think it's maybe going to be a shock to the system initially. I mean, I remember that first. I mean, you kind of got a – it was like we as the media dipped our toes in the water during fall camp, and you're like, wow, these guys are flying up and down the field. And then it got into the month of September and October, and it was just a shock to the system. I mean, jumping into the pool, cold water – first time touching the water, it was just a shock. So I think that's going to be the thing that stands out the most right away to the State fans, because Lebby and Heupel do run very similar things. They essentially run the same system, but obviously each guy is going to have their own tweaks and own personality on it. But for Heupel, it was no easing into it. He wasn't good with just trying to get to a bowl game, six wins, and be happy with that. I mean, he wanted to truly go out there and compete as hard as he could for all 12 games that were guaranteed. And you saw the football team adopt that mindset as well. And Lebby strikes me as somebody who is similar to Heupel in that sense as well. So I just the thing that stands out about Heupel when I think back to year one is just how much of a shock it was to the system, how efficient his offense is for how simple it is, and just how fast that they do actually go. So I would imagine that that stands out pretty early for State fans as well.
Yeah, so Pruitt's last full year, we won't count the COVID year. Tennessee scored 314 points in 13 games. Heupel's first year at Tennessee in 13 games, he scored 511 points.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a difference there. And I'm interested to see if Lebby can have similar results and if you know Blake Shapen can be similar to what Hendon Hooker was his first year in the system. So we'll see how that goes out. Ben, thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate it. Always a lot of great info when you come on with us. Ben McKee from GoBalls 24/7. We'll see you later this season, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate you as always.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.